Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
It's Whitey and Larry in for Damon and Ratto today on 95.7 The Game, and now brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. Nice enough to join us, the outstanding head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. So, Coach, the second half underway. What would you say was the aspect of last night's contest that you were least satisfied with?
I think just our attention to detail. You know, we go into the game knowing Malik Beasley is their best shooter, and that's a big focal point in the game, is to make sure we don't let him free. And there were three or four plays where we just completely lost him, and that's a lack of focus, a lack of awareness of the game plan and what we have to do to win the game. And you know, that's where we've got to get better, and it's ultimately up to me to make sure that happens. I mean, I'm the coach, and I'm accountable for that, and that was the most disappointing aspect.
Steve, good to talk to you again. I was really sad to hear of Ray Ritter's sister passing, and it was there last night, and you know, just I love that guy, and I think I just think the world of him. I know so many people do. Please pass along our thoughts and prayers to him and his family. There is no better person in the game than Ray.
Yeah, he's the best. He's just such an incredible asset for our organization and such a great ambassador. I mean, every media person out there on the national level just adores Raymond because he takes care of everybody. He's so good at his job. And yes, his sister passed away, and Raymond is at the funeral today. And so everybody with the Warriors and everybody who knows Raymond is thinking about him today.
As far as the team, I mean, some of the transition defense is something that you've emphasized. It was rough last night. The ability to defend without fouling, it just seems like it's just an elusive thing where the guys just never quite kind of have settled into a defensive rhythm. And it seems like the defensive struggles are exacerbated on the road. Is there any common denominators to any of this stuff, Steve?
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, the first part of your question, I mean, you know, it's the game is connected. I always talk about it. You know, if you take a lousy shot, you're going to be vulnerable in transition. You know, you've got to make the defense move. You've got to work for a good shot to get the defense to rotate. And then if you get a clean look, then you're much more likely to have good balance in your transition defense. And I thought last night we took a bunch of difficult shots that were that led to really poor defensive balance. And we also, you know, had some just some careless plays where, you know, maybe we didn't take a bad shot, but we, you know, just a careless pass, whatever it was. And, you know, that's one of the keys going into any game with the Lakers, knowing that, you know, they're number two in the league in pace. We're number one, they're number two. So, you know, those are areas where when you're on the road, it's you're especially vulnerable to transition, and you've got to be, I think, even better with your shot selection and with your ability to connect the game.
And coach, to that point, and with how connected aspects of the game are, how does the absence of Steph Curry's offense make things tougher for you at the other end of the floor?
Well, Steph takes some crazy shots, but they go in. So, you know, when the ball goes in and the opponent has to take it out of the net, that's an extra couple of seconds and you're back, you know. And just the difference of the ball going in or not makes such a difference defensively. You know, and there's all kinds of advanced stats on this stuff. You know, your defense improves dramatically after a made basket after a missed basket, for that simple reason. You're back, you get your defense set, they have to take it out. So, you know, the other area where Steph, I should say one of many areas where Steph just makes a dramatic difference is that he puts the fear of God in the defense, and all of a sudden he's generating a ton of rotation from the defense that lead to breakdowns. And so even if he's not making a shot, you know, somebody else is getting free for a layup. The defense gets demoralized. There's an emotional component to what Steph does as well. So, look, he's one of the greatest players in the history of the game. So this is not news to anybody. But, you know, his absence is definitely felt. But doesn't mean we can't win games. We've actually held up decently this year in games without him, but last night was not one of them.
Jordan Poole, Poole is so fun to watch, but I'm looking at his numbers. His shooting percentage from three is down. His free throw shooting percentage is down considerably. When I'm watching him, sometimes I just feel like yelling at the TV, you know, go to the rim, go to the rim. This guy is so aggressive, so deadly when he attacks the rim. Have you discussed it all with him? I mean, or is there anything that you and the staff can point to as to why we've seen the regression in his shooting?
Well, I think the biggest thing is he's getting a lot more attention now than he did a year ago. You know, last year he started the first half of the year next to Steph. Steph got all the attention. Steph drew the best defender. Now teams are game planning for Jordan. They understand how important he is for us, so they're putting their best defender on him. You know, Schroeder was all over Jordan last night and a couple weeks ago when we played the Lakers, and that was, you know, probably at the top of the Lakers list in terms of their keys for the game was just, you know, try to make things as difficult as possible for Jordan, because he's so crucial for us. So you have to remember, he's still a very young player, and I think with young players, there's always going to be some regression. You know, progress is never linear. There's always going to be ups and downs, and this has been a really good learning process for Jordan. He's starting to understand some different aspects of the game and understand his importance and his place in all of it. And it's a great experience for him, but it's not easy for anybody, but especially for him, because he's got a lot of pressure on him. And but he's a great young guy, and he works his tail off, and he's he wants it badly. So I know he's going to do everything to get better.
Catching up with Steve Kurtz, Whitey and Larry in for Damon and Ratto. Coach, I got to ask you about something that fans are frustrated with. I can't imagine anyone is as frustrated as you by the fact that your team, as you've pointed out many times, you're aware of some of the mistakes you're making in terms of too many fouls, too many turnovers, and yet the mistakes continue. I know Ty Jerome talked about it last night, reaching the silly fouls. We've got to avoid those. So when a team makes the same mistakes and we know they're aware of them, do we have to conclude that there's a physical element there, that other teams are taking advantage of something, some physical area of weakness that your team simply can't overcome just by being aware of the disadvantages?
Well, you know, some fouls, if we're going to, you know, talk about the fouls for a second, I mean, some of them are because we, you know, get blown by or whatever, and now we're vulnerable, and you know, we rotate and we're out of position, and so we foul. That happens in every game to every team. I don't mind those when it's just something that's physical, you know, something that's where, you know, we get beat by a guy and the help is there, but the guy draws a foul and makes a good play. You know, that's going to happen. The ones that drive us crazy as coaches are just the reaches, you know, the plays where we don't have to foul and yet we do. I think we had 4 fouls in the first 3 minutes of the third quarter last night. And, you know, that's a game changer. Now they're in the bonus the rest of the way. And several of them were reaches, and those are the ones that are killers, because you can control those if your mind is right. And again, you know, I'm the coach, so I gotta get this right. And we emphasize it every day, but we got to go out and do it.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned the third quarter, because I really wanted to ask you about it. I mean, if you go back and look at third quarter differential in this whole run with the Warriors that you've been here through, I mean, you guys have led the NBA in third quarter differential almost every year outside of, you know, 2020, which was a down year. We all know why. But last year, you guys were plus 2.7, led the NBA in third quarter differential. This year, you guys are minus 0.3. It's 20th out of 30 teams. Is there anything that you can point to as why this team struggles now this year in the third quarter for the first time in years?
Well, we're not the same team, so it's a different team, so everything's different.
Sure.
But if you're one game under 500 versus being whatever we were last year, probably, you know, 15 games over 500, you're probably worse in every quarter, you know. I think, you know, the third quarter stuff from a few years ago, that was really, you're talking about a veteran team, and, you know, with guys, you know, Hall of Fame players in their prime, who could figure out, you know, to lock down at, you know, a couple halftime adjustments and, you know, maybe a mental shift and, all right, it's time to go. You know, it's time to put this team to bed. And but that's not the team we are anymore. You know, we're older, and so you know, we've got guys missing more often. We're also younger, so we've got guys who are, you know, learning and growing, and it's all part of the process for this particular team. So, you know, every team's different, and you know, I believe in our guys. I know we can get there, but we've just got a lot of work to do.
Coach, after the game, Klay Thompson said that everybody could learn from the way the guys on the floor at the end of the game, the way they played to finish up the game. The game had already been decided, but they played well offensively. What did you think of Klay's comments? And more importantly, can you give us any indication as to whether Klay is available tonight, second game of a back-to-back?
Yeah, Klay's scheduled to play. But yeah, I agree with Klay. I mean, the young guys played really well down the stretch. I've really been pleased with Moses Moody and his effort the last 4 or 5 games. You know, he's been out of the rotation for, you know, much of the season, but he's such an impressive young guy. The way he works, the way he carries himself, he's getting better. He's putting in the work every single day. Patrick Baldwin Jr. also played well down the stretch, and I thought Kuminga, you know, in those last 5 minutes, the way he moved the ball, is that's what we want all the time. You know, catch it and move it, and it creates a really good rhythm to the offense. So these guys are all, as Klay mentioned, you know, they're talented. They did a great job closing the game, and you know, we have to be able to put together longer spurts of the game like that.
Is it fair to say that PBJ and Moses then perhaps are in line for more minutes here going forward?
I think I would love to get them both in. It's always a numbers game. You know, you got a lot of guys on the roster. You've got different needs based on combinations, who's out, who's in. But I would love to get them out there before long. It's just it's not easy because of, you know, like I said, the different factors involved and the combinations that you're looking for.
The two-way guys, I mean, you obviously really like these guys. Their net rating, Steve, doesn't look great. But obviously, you and the coaching staff feel like they have earned the minutes. What are these guys doing that you're maybe not seeing from the young guys that would put them in front of some of your younger players as far as minutes are concerned?
Well, some of it is positional. You know, Ty Jerome is the most traditional point guard on our team. You know, his assist to turnover ratio is off the charts. When he goes in, the game settles down. He gets us into our offense. He gets the ball moving. He's got a beautiful pick and roll game. You know, that floater in the lane. The game just calms down when he's out there. And so with Steph out, we desperately need Ty's capability at point guard. And Lamb, he's the one guy who can kind of play the four position and really stretch the floor. You know, he had a tough shooting night last night. But this guy shot 40% from three for the year. He makes plays off the dribble. He's an excellent passer, and he's got a big, strong body. He's capable of standing up to people who are attacking him. And both guys have experience. They make a lot of the little plays that fans probably don't quite recognize, and coaches are all over because that's all we do day after day. And we know that those things lead to better play for the group. So it's all about really earning minutes and doing things that are going to help the team win, and both those guys have done a lot of that this year.
Obviously, without Andrew, you had to improvise a little bit. Were you happy with the starting lineup? Is that one we're likely to see again?
I think it's going to be flexible. Why do you mean we've because of the injuries? It may be a matchup thing depending on who we're playing from night to night. But by separating Draymond and Loon, we're able to always have one of them on the floor at all times, and that's really important for us. So, they're two of our best players, and Loon just gets us stabilized. He gets us calmer, and so having his presence off the bench with some of those younger guys who are coming in, and he's a good stabilizing force.
You know, the West is wide open. It's so many years, it seems like the final stretch of the regular season, I don't want to say it doesn't have a lot of significance, but it feels like you got teams that are looking towards vacation and teams that are dialing it up for the playoffs. This year, you got so many teams, Steve, battling for playoff spots. I think down the stretch, it could be almost like a baseball pennant race this year where you're just literally scoreboard watching. That all being said, I'm amazed what Pelinka and the Lakers have been able to get done. I see them making a huge fast charge here in the final part of the season. Do you envision that as well, based on what you've seen?
Yeah, they've made some good moves over the offseason or over the trading deadline, and you can see that the puzzle fits a lot better now with the shooting that they've added. The energy of Vanderbilt, the defense, and Beasley made seven threes last night. You know, he's a good fit next to those guys. So they did a lot of good things, and they're clearly much better now than they were, just a few weeks ago.
Steve, you've been saying since November that you wanted your team to play with more of a sense of urgency, and it seemed like you had an idea before a lot of people that, hey, this isn't really going the way we need it to. Are you at least, we know you guys are extremely shorthanded, this is a real challenge right now, are you satisfied with the level of urgency that your players are feeling and are playing with right now?
Well, not against the Lakers. I mentioned Malik Beasley making seven threes. He was a huge part of the scouting report. There wasn't enough urgency, clearly. So we're going to have to show that over these last 23 games, because we're in a fight with the rest of the West for playoff positioning, and there's going to be three teams left out completely, not even making the play-in. When you look at the standings from 4 to 13, there's very little difference from in everybody's in that span. So, we've got to show a much greater sense of urgency and intensity, and it's got to start soon.
You know, it's been a frustrating year in a lot of ways. I know you have stated multiple times that you're confident that this team can kind of flip a switch, but get to that championship level and maybe make a run at defending this title. Do you sense a belief from the players? I know they want to believe, but as the season goes further along and you guys are sub 500, do you sense that their belief at all in your guys' title defending ability is waning?
I think there have been times when our guys have been frustrated, you know, and maybe lost a little bit of energy. I thought last night, our guys got discouraged in that third quarter. And I think some of that is Steph is the guy who gives us, you know, that mojo, that sense of, of confidence and even a little bit of arrogance. And so his absence means that we're more fragile than we would be otherwise. But again, we've played without him quite a bit this year, and we've won our share of games, and we can continue to do that. But ultimately, we all know if we're going to do anything significant this season, we're going to have to get healthy, and that's the goal, you know, to tread water and make sure we're you know, hanging in there, and then, you know, hopefully get everybody healthy and active. And if we have that in place, I think this team feels like they can beat anybody in a playoff series.
Steve, we know you're not a doctor. Probably could have been if you wanted to be. But and we know that, you know, we have no idea. I know Steph's going to be reevaluated in another week. I understand that. Is there anything you can share with us about what you have seen from him, what he's been doing, how he just looks to you? Again, we're not asking, when's he going to be back? We'd love to know, right, but we don't know. Is there anything you can share with us about what he has been doing and how he looks doing it?
Well, he's been on the court the last couple of days. We practiced at UCLA Tuesday, Wednesday, before the Laker game. And he was on the court and getting an individual workout. And I didn't see it, but I talked to him afterwards. He told me he felt good. His work is coming along well, and he'll continue with that. And then we'll reevaluate in a week or so. But he's coming along well.
You know, I've asked you this question before because, you know, I've talked to you and I've said to you, hey, you know, you could have a political future. You could be on television. You could do a lot of things. And you've always maintained to me, hey, I'm a basketball coach. I love doing this. I'm just kind of wondering this year with all the ups and downs, all the questioning of your rotations, is it fun for you still? Has this year been fun for you? And if you have the choice next year, do you want to coach this team next year?
Oh, I love coaching, and I love coaching this team, and I want to do this for a long time to come. And I think the one thing that you have to have in this business is perspective. And part of that perspective is that, there's going to be some highs, and we've had some incredible highs over the years, including last year, you know, winning our fourth title. And there's going to be plenty of lows, too, and we've had a lot of those this year. And it's all about just, you know, continuing to work every day, continuing to provide what the players need in terms of instruction and culture and accountability, and trying to get everybody moving forward every day. I love that. I love working with this great staff that I have and with our front office. So I wouldn't want to be doing anything else. And then you also have to mix in the perspective of it's pro sports, so there's no guarantees of anything. So you don't spend too much time worrying about any of that stuff. You just go, you do the best you can, and you see where it all lays out at the end.
Coach, as always, we appreciate your time. You're so gracious and patient, especially after, you know, tough losses. But I got to get in a Kevon Looney question, you know, before we go. So Kevon Looney, the rebounding numbers are incredible. To me, he has become just very adept at grabbing long misses, and there are more of those than there ever were in the NBA. And seeing him at the foul line, almost like an outfielder making a play. Is that one of the keys to his rebounding success? He's become so good at fielding, if you will, those longer rebounds?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's got such long arms, so he plays bigger than he actually is from a height perspective. But I think where he's really improved the last couple of seasons is his anticipation of where the ball is going and his movement when the ball's in midair. He seems to be a half count ahead of everybody else, and then he uses those long arms and his strength to wedge his way to where the ball's going. And he's become a brilliant rebounder, and he's our rock. He's Loon is good every single night. He does everything that we ask and more, and we're just lucky to have him.
Thanks, Coach. We appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.